That was wonderful.
Amen.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Bob, I want you to know I share the love for this congregation. This is a great congregation, great people, people who love the Lord and love one another. And somebody came up to me this morning, I can't remember exactly who, somebody came up to me this morning and said, this is a wonderful day. And I said, yes, every day we can get together is absolutely a wonderful day. So I appreciate all that. We're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to talk about the power of prayer today. And I want to read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Now understand, this is Jesus' teaching as to how we should pray. I'm not going to cover that. Okay? I just want to introduce it with these verses, because y'all have already had lessons on how to pray. So I'm not interested in that right there, but what I am interested in is improving your prayer life. Your prayer life, okay? Very specific. So let's take a look, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Pray in this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I want you to know I used to be a football coach. And before every, can you believe I used to coach football? I did. And before every game, we would spout that off. It was kind of something that we memorized. But it was never intended for that purpose. It was intended for an example of how to do it, but it was never intended for the purpose of memorization to where we can just wrote it off. That's not the purpose. But today I don't really want to talk about that. It's what I want to talk about is this. How is your prayer life? Now I want to qualify that. Because there's a verse in the Bible that tells us, says, pray without what? Okay. Now again, how is your prayer life? What does it mean to pray without ceasing? It means that constantly, 24/7, every day, every hour, that your heart, your mind, your spirit is on the Lord. Constantly, without ceasing. When you see the sunrise, do you thank God for such a beautiful sunrise? Or the sunset? Or the stars in the sky? Or the moon? Or the sun? Or the clouds? The beauty of the sky? We saw a bald eagle fly across the lake yesterday when we were out playing. How wonderful that is. Was your heart on prayer? Was your heart on thanksgiving? Was your heart on that continually? And I want you to know that if you really think about it the way that God wants you to think about it, and the way that I truly understand this, is that I would pretty well guarantee there's not one person in this congregation that could not do better. Not one. And I want you to know, you know, Tim asked the question this morning, do you have hope in your preacher? I hope you don't. I hope you don't. I want to help you to get to heaven. But I also want you to know that I struggle a lot with my prayer life. I tell you right now that I don't pray the way I should. I tell you right now that I don't pray without ceasing. Because there are times in my day I'm not thinking about God at all. And if you can look at me and say, well, my preacher, you know, how is it that he doesn't do these things? How do you expect me to do these things? I expect you to be exactly like me. In that, you are oftentimes like the individual who came to the apostles to help his son, to heal his son who had epilepsy. And he said to Jesus, he says, I believe. But help me with what? My unbelief. There are times in my life when I actually pray to God and I really do have some unbelief. And if you think about it in your own minds and in your own way, you think about that, there are times in your life that I bet you fall into that same category. But you know what brings us to growth? You know what brings us to more understanding? You know what brings us to more faith? It's the understanding of where you fall short. Because we all fall short. So knowing exactly where I fall short, I want you to know this, that my prayer life, and I'm talking personally here, my prayer life has improved dramatically over the last 4 years. There were things that were going on in my life that I was going, oh my goodness, how in the world is this going to happen? And I would pray and then I would go, I don't know if this is going to work. And that, you know, all these different things. But I want you to know that my prayer life, my personal prayer life, has improved dramatically over the last 4 years. And it has improved even more since June of this year. Because y'all called me. And I knew it was God that was involved in that. I know it's God that's involved in that. Now realize this, that in our lives we're going to have doubt from time to time. These things are going to occur, but in that process, there are some things we need to realize. And that's what I want to show you today, that when you pray, there are five things that you need to keep in mind always while praying. Always. And I want you to look at number one. Because number one is really, really, really important. When you pray, who are you calling upon? God, the Father, the Creator of all things. That's who I am calling upon. I am calling upon the power of the universe. I'm calling upon God who can do all things. All things. That's who I'm calling upon. And I've told you the story before that my mother, when she was older, she said, I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know what I can do. I don't know why God keeps me here. I don't understand this. And I said, I do. I know. I said, Mom, yeah, you can't get up. You can't move. You can't go places. You can't do things. But you know what you can do? You can pray for us. You can lift up your voice in prayer to God the Father. And by doing that, you are calling upon the power of the universe, the creator of all things. And knowing that he is the creator of all things, you are doing more by lifting up your voice in prayer to God than anyone else could possibly do. Pray to God. How many of you have seen in your lifetime the power of prayer? Raise your hand. See how many hands are gone up? But I want you to know something. Even though we've seen the power of prayer, even though we know it's there, that oftentimes we forget who we're calling upon. Does that make sense to everybody? I hope it does, because I do that. When I lift my voice in prayer, sometimes I forget who I'm talking to. And sometimes he slaps me in the head and he says, "Do you realize who you're talking to?" But I want you to know, I need that slap in the head. I need a wake-up call. Because by praying to God, all things are possible. Now, folks, if that doesn't give you power and strength in your prayer life, you're missing out. Because you got to realize who exactly you're praying to first of all. First and foremost, you are praying to God. Second, I've had people come tell me, say, "Well, I really don't know how to pray." Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Some prayers are elaborate. Some prayers are simple. Some of my favorite prayers are, "Lord, thank you for that sunrise." What a great prayer. "Lord, thank you for your son." Some of my best prayers are the simplest. Are the simplest. I remember when I was a principal down at Mena High School. And I always, before school started, I was always at the far end of the building, because I had my spot that I was supposed to monitor and stuff. And so I was always at the very far end of the building. And the interior of the high school building at Mena is actually 220 yards from one end to the other. Yeah, long way. Well, I always had a radio, and I'd get a call. And they'd say, "Mr. Breedlove, someone's in the office wanting to see you." That is usually not a good thing if you're a principal. And you know it's not somebody in the office to come to you and tell you how good a job you're doing. Usually it's somebody with a complaint. Usually it's somebody with a problem. Usually it's something going on that needs to be taken care of. And of course, I always said that the principal's a fireman, because you're constantly putting out fires. Constantly. And so from the time that I would get the call on the radio, as I started walking toward the office, I would pray. And usually my prayer was pretty simple. "Lord, give me wisdom to take care of this situation." Whatever situation it was. And he always did. But I want you to understand that no matter your prayer, I want you to understand that we have a go-between called the Holy Spirit. And because we have that go-between with the Holy Spirit, Whatever I pray, when it reaches God's ears, it is perfect. Acts 2:38 tells us that when we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, we receive the gift of what? Holy Spirit. And by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, then guess what? I've got the Holy Spirit that intercedes for me. And with that Holy Spirit interceding for me, I know that whatever prayer I lift up to God, when I reach out to God, my prayer is perfect. And there are times, just like what it says there, it says, now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray. There are times in my life that I've gone to God and I've literally said this, Lord, I don't know what I need. I know I need something. I know I need some help. But you know what I need. And I know I'm going to receive it. Now I want you to know that prayer is perfect to God. In all respects. It is perfect to God. Because we have a Spirit that intercedes for us so that our prayers and our prayer life is perfect in the sight of God. You know the story about the prayer of a righteous man? What does it do? Yes, it avails much. How do you become that righteous man? It's not by us. It's through Jesus Christ. And since we have Jesus Christ, guess what? The Spirit intercedes for us and makes all of our prayers righteous before the sight of God. All of them. Our prayers are perfect. So the first thing we need to remember is what? Who we are praying to. The second thing we need to remember is that all of our prayers are absolutely perfect in the sight of God. Number three. This one's kind of important. Most of you know that at one time I was in the political world and I was a state representative in Little Rock. Most of you already know that. I don't bring it up a whole lot. But one of the things that was very interesting is that in my first term there is that every session, every day that we met, we started with the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer. And the Speaker of the House, there were actually five of us in the legislature that were preachers. And the Speaker of the House always asked one of us to lead prayer. And I love that. That was an honor to say a prayer before we began. Before the gavel came down, before everything started, we said a prayer for us. My second term in office, it changed. We got a new speaker. And with that new speaker, he decided that they would use some state funds to actually hire a chaplain. Okay. No, it wasn't. Because the chaplain wanted to do everything that was politically correct. I don't like that. Because by being politically correct doesn't make it correct. And so at the end of his prayer every day, he would close it by saying, "This is our prayer." Amen. Now, what I always thought was funny was that there was a Baptist preacher that sat right behind me. And every day that he'd say, "This is our prayer, amen," that Baptist preacher would say it loudly for the whole group to hear, "In Jesus' name." And I always look back at him, and I'd always smile at him, I'd always laugh at him, and he'd say, "That prayer didn't get above this ceiling." And I appreciated that. I truly did appreciate that. Because Jesus tells us this, that whatever we ask in His name, this He will do. Now understand, when we pray, is that we are praying to the Father. We're praying to God. But we're praying through Jesus Christ. And so therefore we pray in Jesus' name. That's what we do. And if you want to be politically correct and not include Jesus in your prayer, then guess what? It's not getting above that ceiling. And I agreed with him wholeheartedly. Folks, we pray in Christ's name. Every prayer. Because He is our high priest. So therefore, when we pray, we must ask in Jesus' name. Now this one's good. Rendell told this story, and so I'm going to repeat it, in the elders' meeting that we had the other day. He told a story about a church in Texas that was going through a great drought. And so they decided to come together and have just a prayer meeting to end the drought. And so the whole church came together. But only one little boy showed up with an umbrella. I want you to think about that for just 1 second. You know, when Rendell told that story, I kind of chuckled and laughed too, and then I started going, "Ooh, that makes for a good lesson." Think about that for 1 minute. What does that mean? That means that's exactly right. That's faith, isn't it? That means without a doubt that God's going to answer our prayers. Sometimes He may say no. But understand, God is going to answer our prayers, and He's going to answer it in such a way that all things are possible. What does Jesus say about the faith of a mustard seed? Guess what you can do if you call upon the name of the Lord? You not only can move mountains, you can move the world. Jesus Christ moved the world. Ask knowing that when we ask, it will be given to us. Ask knowing that. Bring your umbrella, because we're fixing to have a flood. Realize exactly how that goes. Bring your umbrella. Know that when you ask, it will be done. And look at this. This is the one thing that I want you to all understand and all be a part of. There are things in this life, and there have been times in my life when I've literally asked God, please give me this. And thanking the whole time that this is exactly what I needed to do, this is exactly what God wanted me to do. Okay? Please give me this. Please help me with this. Because I know this is what you want me to do. Not always do we know what God wants. Because as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he tells us, now we see in a mirror dimly. All we can see is right around us. We don't see oftentimes what God sees, what God knows, what God understands. We don't see those things that are all out there, and so therefore we don't always know what God wants for us. You know, being an ex-politician, I can tell you right now, there's a lot of people out there that say, God wants me to run for this office. No. Maybe, but maybe not. There were times when I was looking for jobs and I'd pass by schools and I'd go, God, please help me to get a job at that school right there. And I'd go and interview, and I wouldn't get the job. But you know what? I got a job somewhere else. And people don't understand oftentimes that God knows better than we do. People don't always understand that there are people right here in this congregation that need to hear this message. And I can tell you right now that every one of us in here do. We all need to hear it. Why? Because we all don't know what God can do. Our faith needs to grow. We need to get stronger. But I want you to understand this in Matthew 26, 39. Realize what Jesus asked. Somebody brought up to me one day that they thought that the greatest temptation that Jesus had was in the garden, and I agree 100%. When he told Peter, who cut off the man's ear, by the way, he missed. He was actually trying to split his head. He missed. The guy ducked. But remember what he told Peter? He said, do you not know that I can call down 12 legions of angels, 12 armies of angels? Was his greatest temptation? I believe it was. Y'all may think differently, and that's okay. But I agree. I believe that his greatest temptation was in the garden because he could have stopped it at any moment. But remember what he said? Not as I will, but as you will. This also brings up another point. Like I mentioned just a minute ago, sometimes God tells us no. Why does God tell us no? Because he knows better. He knows better. And the greatest blessing that we have today is the fact that God told his only begotten Son no. How often do you think of that? But understand what God's will is. God's will is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. So folks, when you pray, and I encourage this, when you're asking for things, when you're asking for help, when you're asking for these things to take place, I ask you to do this. Be like Jesus Christ. And pray, not my will, but let your will be done. So if it is your will for me to do this, let's go. But if it's not your will for me to do this, then guide me in the direction that you want me to go, and I will go. Not my will, but let your will be done. Jesus prayed that. And because of that, our hope is not in our preacher, but our hope is in the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's where it comes from. So anytime you pray, yes, ask for things. Ask for help. Always. Ask for the direction that God wants you to go. I do that often. Lord, tell me where you want me to go. I'll go. Guide me, direct me, help me. Every way that you can. But bottom line, I pray that your will is done. Because if your will is done the way that you hope that your will is done, the way that you seek that your will is done, if your will is done, then every person will be saved. Pray that. Now I want to leave you with a great verse. It's Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 is one of those verses that I will quote often. Because it tells us right plainly that we have a high priest that knows our every need, that knows everything that we've gone through in our life. And in all ways, he was tempted just as we are tempted. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. There's no temptation that Jesus didn't go through that you've gone through. But I also want you to realize that Jesus went through much more than you did. We haven't stood right before Satan and have him tempt us. You're talking about hungering and thirsting this morning? Remember, Jesus fasted for 40 days, and it says in Matthew chapter 4 that after he finished, he was hungry. And Satan came to him and said, "Turn these rocks to bread." Realize what Jesus did for us. But notice what it says in Hebrews 4:16. It says, "Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence." And I like the King James Version of that better, which says, "Let us approach the throne of grace boldly." Boldly. Knowing that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our needs. Now, how's your prayer life? Where is it? Can it be better? You better believe it can. All of us can improve on our prayer life. But we need to understand that the one who created it all is the name in whom we're calling upon. The power of the universe. And therefore, I can be as Paul says, in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, through God, who strengthens me. If you have a need this morning, for our prayers or our need for baptism. We want to give you the opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.